We have been looking at this area recently, but I want to look back at it again this morning that the Lord can stir our hearts, give us direction, feed us, that we may have that overflowing life. Overflowing life. And it takes, as we have looked at it before, the persistence, the absoluteness of a life that sees something. As we looked at the life of Elijah, and then we saw Elisha as he followed after him. And I might like to make the point today that there's one thing to follow. There's one thing to learn. It's another thing to reach on out and to experience. Elisha, up to a point, was one that followed after. But there came a point in his life that he crossed over. And that crossing over was into God, to experience God. I want to look at these three areas. First, Bethel. Bethel speaks to us as we look back in history. We read about Elijah going to Bethel and Elisha following him. But we look back to Bethel as where, as an awful place. That's what Bethel was. That's where Jacob met God, right? Saw the stairway to heaven. There's where God dealt. And there's where we see the victories won at Bethel. That's in the past. God was very real at that point with a man that was a usurper. And Bethel speaks to us of that. They went on from Bethel to Jericho. Jericho speaks of obedience. At least it speaks to me of a people that had come out of bondage and they had come into a place of obedience. They saw the hand of God. They saw the power of God. The huge walls of Jericho, as we all know, fell in. And the people of Israel, the armies of Israel that had marched around for 7 days, turned and went straight forward right in to Jericho. God gave the victory. All of these are wonderful things. And kind of like we are learning about God. We read about what God has done. But then we come to Jordan. And as you've heard me say, and I want to emphasize it this morning, Jordan is the place of crossing over. It's the place of entering into what God has done and what God is going to do. It's the only thing that can cause us as Christians to cross over is the Spirit of God crossing over from just hearing about God to following after those or coming together to launch on out to say, where is the God of Elijah? I want to experience God for myself. The tremendous working in this, because God has designed that we experience Him together. We're going to experience Him individually. We're going to experience Him together. It's hard for us at times to fully enter into this and to grasp it, because there's a dual working going on. Each of us as members of the body of Christ must experience God individually. Not only that, but as we read and as we have heard in recent days, the body of Christ that we have brought into now does not allow us to function individually. But we function as a whole. As you look at the body of Christ, and as you see the working, as you see the scriptures that are laid out before us, yes, individual members, but what's it say? One body. What does the body speak to us about? The body speaks of control, really. when we look at it, we're brought into what? One body. And the one that's the head of that body is Christ. And the fullness of all that He is has made the provisions that each one of us have to enter in and know that oneness, to function as one. No longer are we here to function as individuals, yet, as we all know, and let me just illustrate it simply to us, the hand, when it does something, it does not do something separate from the body. It's connected to the body. It's directed by the head. All of the body gives its support to the working of the hand. The eyes give their support. The ears give their support. When the feet start to work or start to go, all of these things. So you can start to see, I believe, a little bit of what I'm trying to get at today is that we function as one. To come out of our individualistic world into this working takes a submission. A submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're coming underneath the headship, the lordship of Him, the working of God. And we need to move in this. That does not take away from our individual experience of God on the daily basis, but it also keeps us in line with what the body of Christ is doing. Because we've been brought into the body. We have the same life. The life is the Spirit that God has given. That brings us into the oneness of what God is doing. We have been made partakers of His divine nature. And so as we start to look at the working of God, there's one thing that is evident. At least it's evident to me, and let me share it with you this morning. That there is a dominating effect that takes place in the body of Christ. Dominating in this respect, that Christ has given gifts. And those gifts are channels for the grace that flows from the head to each one of us, that we all might grow and mature together. And so the dominating aspect of it is that Christ dominates our lives. Now we're in a world that's, as I've already said, individualistic in its expression, individualistic in the way it wants to go. Lives for self, thinks only of self. You'd say, well, that cannot be our expression. No, it cannot be if we are dominated by the Spirit of God. If we're controlled by the Spirit of God, it cannot be our expression. A lot of times this is something that confuses us because we look and we see that this does not add up. The dominating aspect that we're talking about, the control of the Spirit, does not add up to the way that we're moving. And we want to copy sometimes, so we start to move in our own natural to try to just submit and do what everybody else is doing. But we're not copying. We're dominated by one thing, Christ. Dominated and directed, propelled on in this walk of faith. A lot of us times we talk about faith. We say we do things in faith. But then when you look back to the revelation that's in the Word of God, it's hard to add one and one and make it three. And so, again, questions start to mount up. We start to look at each other. There's one thing that Elisha did. Even though he followed, even though he wanted a double portion of the Spirit that was on Elijah, there's one thing he wanted to know God for himself. And that brought him into the working of God, because the Spirit is the only one that can bring us in, allow us to cross over into the working of God, the rest of God, to where now God is laboring. The working, the power, the grace, everything that He is working on our behalf. crossing over is nothing more than entering into the fullness of the Spirit and the control of the Spirit. I know the question comes in our hearts, well, what does it mean to be controlled by the Spirit? This is not something that we intellectually learn. This is something that God has made provisions for. He has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness, has He not? His provision. It's not our provision. It's not us learning the way that we have come up and been taught as far as the worldly ways. We're now entered into the spiritual realm. Spiritual realm is that which is connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit in which is bringing us into a fullness of Himself. Sounds, wonderful. A lot of us like to follow. We like to learn. In fact, I think the more classes we would have, if we had classes, we would really like to have some Bible knowledge. Bible knowledge in God is experiencing God, and that's the crossing over. We have to get to the place that we experience God. We're not just following after Elijah. We're crossing Jordan into knowing God. The Spirit brings us over into the reality of this great love that He has shed abroad in our heart. To know Him. To have that desire working in each one of us. And then to realize that it is the Spirit of God that is going to take and cause us to mature. How are we maturing? Individually? Yes, members are growing individually. But we're growing together. Growing together. That we might move as one. What's the prayer of Jesus? Father, make them one as we are one. So we're growing in this place. Yes, we are experiencing the Lord for ourselves, but all of it is for what? The body. When I say that, I'm not talking about some isolated or some little group, but I'm talking about those that have entered in and partook of the life of God. Those that have come underneath the control. Those that can say with the Apostle Paul, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm living in the source that is no longer connected to what I can do, but I'm living from the source that flows from Him. I've entered into that by the Spirit. Now I'm going to go ahead to mature in the Spirit. I'm going to grow. We like to look at it individually, but we must take our eyes off of ourselves to see that God has a higher goal than just our individualistic salvation. Because that's what it becomes when we want everything for ourselves. The life of God wants everything for others. Is that not true? Huh? That's what it is. It's a giving life. Laying down our lives that others can partake. And so this is a completely different working. And we have to get to the place that this is the passion of our soul. Our hearts, our affections set on what? Yes, things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of majesty. But the reality of that fellowship working out down here. Father, can you make them one? Can they function as one? Can they feel the same heartbeat as our Lord Jesus Christ? Because that's what we are. It's no longer what we want. It's no longer our heartbeat. It's no longer our desires, our passion. It's the passion of the Lord. It's what He wants. It's the thing that's going to glorify Him. It's not what's going to glorify us and let us stand out. We're fitting in. Fitting into the body. I know that when we look at this thing, if we take it in the natural, we try to think it out in the natural, it becomes confusing. Because I'm trying to grow spiritually, individual, as an individual. And yet here, somebody standing this morning to tell me that I have to be warm. And of course, we always look for that place of balance, and there is none. We like to find a place that we can excuse ourselves. We can make a place for what we're doing, but you never will. Individual expressions moving separate from the body of Christ can never last because there's no place to fit it in to what God is doing. Only what is done in faith is eternal. Now, faith is not your belief, or not you asking God's blessing on what you're doing. That's not faith. Faith is the direct control of the Spirit of God in your life with you cooperating. That's the only way that we're going to be brought to oneness. It's by faith. And As I say that, I know that some of you are saying, well, I have faith. Faith is connected, let me say it again, as strongly and as meekly as I can, is connected to God. You don't separate it from God. You don't ask God to come in and bless your efforts in what you're doing for Him. There's no place. You can do nothing of yourself. There's nothing that you can do for God that can please God. It can only be the working of the Spirit of God in and through your lives. You fitting in to where God is glorified in everything. That we're brought into a oneness in life. Some of us may be looking for certain expressions of that oneness. Maybe we strive in our own strength to show love. Don't. Let the Spirit of God lead us. You say, but it's slower. Don't I have a responsibility in this? Yes, responsibility to respond to the Spirit of God. That's your responsibility. Those that are led by the Spirit, that's the place that ties you to God. Those are the sons of God. Those that are led by the Spirit of God. Those that want to move on over into God are brought there by the Spirit of God. It's not like Elisha as he crossed over and took the mantle, struck the waters, but yet the Spirit that should be in us, that we may know this crossing over into God and experiencing God and not just experiencing our own working, our own strength. He wanted to know God. He wanted to experience God. He wanted to know the God of Elijah. He wanted to see the working of God. And we as a whole and as individuals this morning must also have this quest within our very souls. I want to know God. I want to experience God. What cost? Don't care what the cost is. Step on out. Most of us, we like to stay in the boat. We like to look on and see the miracles of God. We like to see the Peter walking out there in the water. But how about you, John? How about you, Oliver? How about you, Mike? How about us getting out into the water? How about Dan, Barry, Bob, Ron, Kerry, Brother Curtis? How about it? Dennis, Brother John, George, Ed, got everybody? All the brothers? Hello, Dave. Hiding back there in the boat. All right. I think you see what I'm saying, though. It's one thing to hear about it. It's another thing to get on out and to experience God at any cost. The crossing over into the Spirit. We can sit back in the boat and we can make all kind of different explanations of why we're not out on the water. We can say, well, he hadn't spoken to me.
Maybe you never asked him to bid you come to him.
Ask and see if he won't tell you to step on out on that come to me. Because the body of Christ is one that's moving in the strength of the Spirit of God. It's moving in the what we might term the supernatural, for no better word to express it. Because it's moving in that which we no longer can do. It's moving in the grace of God. It's what God can do in us and through us. So we need this crossing over into the Spirit. And the Spirit is the only one in the new working, in the new covenant, that can allow us to cross over. Because we're crossing over from all natural abilities into all spiritual abilities. And the Spirit is the only one that can bring us to that place. It's a simple life. It's not something that's complicated. Now, you may have your own concepts of what the spiritual life is, and you might think it's this and that, and there's all kinds of different things that I hear. And as we talk, well, this should be working, this should be working. The only thing I can say is the body of Christ is an expression of His nature, expression of His character. It's walking out the will of God in the circumstances that we find ourselves. We as a whole should be that burning light as we come in contact with the world around about us. Not a part of it, away from it. A light that is lifted up. A light that is no longer hid. Because if you are no different than the world, if you're not out there on the water walking with God, I'm talking about faith now. If you're not there, why, you're not affecting the world. The world wants to see Jesus. You don't have to take and... Let me use a kind of a slang expression. You don't have to blab about His name. He wants to see His name revealed in you. Yes, there's times to speak. There's times to proclaim the Word as God would direct, as the Spirit of God would direct. But, beloved, the Word needs to be seen. The character of God needs to be seen. And it's through a laying down of our lives. Our lives are no longer separate from His. In fact, you don't even see a parallel of you walking with Him. Are you holding His hand? He has become our life. What does that all mean? God will have to show us. That's the crossing over. We'd love somebody to tell us what that means. But God wants you to experience it. Now, let me ask you this. Where is that desire that God has worked that you want to know the God of Elijah? I want to know the Spirit. Well, as we've said so many times, I believe there must be a pushing off from the shore. Cutting all lines. Have you ever been where they took and pushed a big boat? You know, a big boat usually don't just start away from the dock on its own steam. It's tied there. And they have some helpers. They're called tugboats. And these great big huge ships, they cast the lines off. All lines are cast away. Everything is separated from the dock. Then those big tugboats start to pull and to push. And they finally get that big boat out in a place to where its power can direct us. Now we need the help of some tugboats, if I might just illustrate it that way. But we need to cut the shoreline so that we can get on out to where God can direct us. Because as long as the shorelines are holding us, and they can be many things. I could go into them this morning, and it gets right down to a personal thing. What we want to do, our desires, serving God our way. It's no good. God's not interested in it. God's interested in one thing. What has He given you? That's all He wants back. That's hard to understand it. He doesn't want anything that you have. The cross tells us that. Come on, let's just face up to it. Nothing good that I could do. He doesn't want anything. Doesn't want my efforts. What's He looking for then? He has made all provisions, has He not? And He has given. Now, what God requires of each one of us is what He's already given to you. Well, you say, what has He given to me? He's given His life. He's given the power, the ability to direct you and lead you. He's given you Himself. And He wants nothing but that. That's what He wants back. Because remember, we're being brought to a place of fullness. Fullness of what? Fullness of Him. We probably need to get our eyes off of our own image that we have created, because some of us, I'm sure, in our own minds have created an image that we think the body of Christ should be like. But what we need is simple hearts of submission to the Lord. God knows what He's doing. He's the one that's building. We're not. Right? Now, that does not take away from the care, the oversight, the watching that God has placed within. That's part of grace. That's part of the functioning of the whole, though. It's not separate from the whole. It's part of the whole. Part of the body. It's members within the body functioning. Remember, the body all functioning for the glory of God. Do you have problems sometime of knowing what it means to function? And you want to function. And you try to function. But see, your concepts of functioning is based on your own image that you have built, rather than being alive unto God and just moving in the freedom and liberty of the Spirit. Not to do what you want to do, but that God might bring us together and let us be an expression of His will. It's God that worketh in us the will to do. It's God that gives us the eternal values. It's God that takes and works in our lives to allow these things to be laid aside and to get our visions where they're clear. When you have trouble seeing, don't you go and get your vision corrected? Have you ever had trouble like that to where you start to see double? Kind of scary, isn't it? But when we start to see double or start to question in our own mind spiritual things, why don't we go get it corrected to where we can get single-eyed? You know what it means to be single-eyed? Both eyes are normal. That's what it means to be single-eyed. Because when my eyes are normal, I see single. Glory? And so when I am spiritually normal, I need to be seeing one thing. The goal that is set before me. I'm here for Him. Nobody else. But see, in the working of God, that allows Him to do what He wants to with me. He can hide me. He can pour me out. He can feed me to others. He can empty my pockets. I'm not on a 10%, are you? I hope we've left that behind. He can take it all. And He does when He wants to. And He has. And then He can cause the refreshing. He can cause the abundance of supply to come to those that are in need. He knows how to bring that equality, doesn't He? If we're led by the Spirit. The Spirit allows us to cross over. He's the only one. There are certain things that God could not have done without Himself coming to abide within us. He could not have given us life. But life is in Him. Seems so simple, doesn't it? And it is. God doesn't confuse us with so many profound things that we cannot partake because He has given us the ability to partake. But they're the simple life of God being lived out. May I make a suggestion? Quit trying. Quit trying. Because that's not the Christian life. It's not spiritual to say, well, I'm doing all that I know to do. Just enter into that simple life. Be a vessel that God can pour through. And you'll see that there's a growth. You'll see that there's an understanding. You'll see that there's something builds up within our hearts that wants only Him. He has a way, beloved, in the life of God, of bringing us to a place in His working that it demands our functioning. Because the very atmosphere of His presence compels us to move by the Spirit. And so we come from our experience with God at Bethel. We come through obedience. Those that obey Him shall receive the Spirit. He has become eternal salvation to those that obey Him. Hallelujah. We have come to the place, the Spirit bringing us over into what God is doing. Now, this is merely only my looking at it. The actual working out of it is the life of God. I'm merely expressing it that the Spirit, according to what I see in the Word of God, is the only one that can bring us into this realm. There's no other working except the Spirit of God. And it's not that we're like the psychics. It's not that we're into a realm of throwing our mind out of gear. God brings everything into focus by the Spirit. He brings the purpose of our minds. He brings the purpose of our motions. He brings the purpose of everything into focus by the Spirit. So it's a simple life. It is. It's a very simple life. We've heard it recently about Mary and Martha, haven't we? Simple life of just sitting and partaking. Say, what does that all mean? Am I just supposed to sit and partake? At that time, you better be sitting at His feet. She chose the best thing. True? I think we all got that message, didn't we? Everybody hear it? She chose the best thing. Martha was over there fretting around and worrying about this and worrying about this and worrying about Mary. How about us? Have we chose the best thing? And as we choose it, don't stop with that experience, because there's going to be some times of testings. Because this Martha and Mary came into play after the crucifixion. They were there along the way. I imagine that they were there at Pentecost, don't you? Martha and Mary. Crossing over into the spiritual. Glory. Glory.